petrol or electric? Petrol or electric? Why choose petrol and electric? Discover the BMW plug-in hybrid range. Visit your BMW retailer or find out more at bmw.ie. Sometimes electric, always BMW.
It's Friday, July the 9th, and you're very welcome to the Inside Politics podcast from the Irish Times. I'm Hugh Linehan, and you're very welcome to this special podcast. I'm joined by my colleagues, Pat Leahy, Cormac McQuinn, and Harry McGee. They're all at the count in the RDS for the Dublin Bay South by-election. We've had a couple of counts, and I think, Harry, it's pretty clear what the result is going to be.
Hugh, it's been pretty clear since 9 or half 9 this morning which direction this has been going. And even before the first count began, we kind of knew what the result was going to be. I mean, Ivana Bacik was always a slight favourite. But as events transpired this morning and as the tallies continued, it became quite evident that this was going to be a very clear, if not emphatic, victory for her. The narrative in the run-up to today was that perhaps James Gagan would top the poll with Ivana Bacik close enough behind perhaps to overtake him in subsequent counts. But as things transpired, she just ran ahead and topped the poll with a comfortable 1,000+ votes to spare over James Gagan. And once she was ahead in count one, I mean, the script was essentially written. She is going to extend that gap in each subsequent count. And it was evident that she was going to essentially coast home for what will be a very important victory for the Labour Party. So James Gagan finished in second place. He's on about 26% of the vote compared to Ivana Bacik, who got 30% of the vote. Disappointing day for Fine Gael. Behind that, Sinn Féin, kind of in a holding pattern. Lynn Boylan got 16% of the vote, 15%, 16% of the vote, a little bit behind what they got in the general election, but enough to shore up support and essentially copper fasten their chances of winning a seat in this constituency, which is not natural Sinn Féin territory in the next election. Fianna Fáil will be acutely disappointed, and that's being very euphemistic about it with the result. Its candidate, Deirdre Conroy, only got 5%, a fall of 9% from its general election showing of 14%. In addition to that, it has implications not only for party leader Micheál Martin, but also for the putative next leader of the party, the person who's been talked about as a possible successor, Jim O'Callaghan, who is the director of elections. And it does spell bad news for Fianna Fáil. And the Green Party will also be very disappointed with its showing. Eamon Ryan got 22% of first preferences in the general election in 2020. Its candidate, Claire Byrne, who it was generally felt put in a very strong performance in debates, especially in the last week of the campaign, will be disappointed with only 8% of the vote. And again, uncomfortable questions will be asked in relation to party direction, strategy, and perhaps the authority of the leader, Eamon Ryan. But it's evidence that if there was a kind of a centre-ground vote that might have voted Fianna Fáil or the Greens in the last elections on the chance, as it were, it seems that centre ground has very much shifted, for this by-election at least, in the direction of Ivana Bacik and Labour.
And Cormac, let's look first of all at Ivana Bacik as the winner. Very clear result. As Harry pointed out in the analysis which went up on irishtimes.com a couple of hours ago, really the best day for Labour probably in 10 years of elections, because they've had a very long, very miserable run of it.
Yes, they have, definitely. And speaking to Labour people, they are not shy about acknowledging that they have had challenging times since they were seen to be part of what has been branded the austerity years and the difficult decisions that were taken at that time. But with Ivana Bacik, they had a candidate who was essentially the right person to run in the right constituency at the right time. You know, she can point to her quite long track record. She's a four-term senator in that bastion of Dublin Bay South, an institution, Trinity College. It's a constituency that while yes, there is a strong Fine Gael presence, a strong Fine Gael support, there has also traditionally been a strong Labour vote. We of course had Rory Quinn, a former leader, here. And then at the right time, I think Labour is at the point where they maybe just enough years away from their time in government that the people who were upset about how things went during those years at the Fine Gael coalition might be beginning to forgive them. Now, we shouldn't read too much into it, you know. She's obviously gotten a great share of the first preferences with 30%, but that is actually 10 times the level of support that Labour has had nationally in recent opinion polls. And there's no guarantee that the success here, while a big morale boost for people in the party, will translate into the votes in rural areas particularly. But in any way, you know, to return to the glory days of Eamon Gilmore, where they were talking of him as a potential Taoiseach, that we're a long way from that yet.
So, Pat, we were talking in Wednesday's podcast about by-elections and whether they actually mattered or not in terms of what they told us about what was going to happen. I don't expect to see Labour getting 30% of the vote at the next general election, but this probably does at least put Labour in a good position to retain this seat when it comes to a general election, and presumably helps in terms of enthusing the party faithful as well.
Yeah, it's so long ago, Hugh, I can't barely remember what we talked about, you know. But yeah, you're right. This is a very big vote for Ivana Bacic today. She's a candidate that's almost kind of tailor-made for this constituency in many ways. And it's noticeable that while she was winning votes right across the constituency, her strongest parts were those kind of middle-class liberal parts of the constituency, rather than the old working-class areas of the constituency, which used to be, in days gone by, something of a stronghold for Labour, but which have now been colonised by Sinn Féin, and that's where we see the Sinn Féin vote at its strongest today. You would expect, I mean, looking forward, it's always dangerous to extrapolate anything from a by-election to a general election result, but you can look at facts on the ground or boots on the ground, and you would say that Ivana Bacic will be odds on to hold on to this seat in her if she runs, as she certainly will in the next general election. You would think also that there should be, on the basis of today's numbers, there should be a general election seat for Fine Gael. Remember, Fine Gael in this traditional stronghold now has no TD in this constituency, but I would be willing to enter a small wager that there will be a Fine Gael TD here after the next election. Most likely that'll be James Gagan. So what does that mean? That's 5-4. It puts Eamon Ryan, Jim O'Callaghan and Sinn Féin's Chris Andrews fighting it out for two seats. So one of the results of this by-election that we can say, I think, with some confidence, is that it turns Dublin Bay South into something of a group of death at the next general election.
And in that group of death, which Pat describes there, Harry, Sinn Féin seem pretty well placed to survive, don't they? Because what happened was they outperformed the numbers which they had in our constituency poll last week, which showed them at about 13%. Lynn Boylan came in just under 16%, which is really not very far away from what they got in the general election.
Well, Hugh, as Pat might have pointed out if he were still speaking, the margin of error for the opinion poll was plus or minus, I think, 4% or 4.4%. So I think Lynn Boylan's result is within the margin of error, albeit a couple of percentage points ahead. Certainly the vote came out for the party in its traditionally strong areas of Pier Street, inner city, Ringsend and Irish Town, and clusters around Rathmines, where the party has traditionally been strong. So while she is 3 percentage points shy of Chris Andrews' performance in the 2020 election, she was a candidate who was not of the constituency, who was kind of essentially parachuted in to stand in this by-election. So as such, the party will be relatively comfortable with the result. She seems to have shored up its support and put it in a good place to consolidate its seat here. I think there are very few people who would not predict Sinn Féin getting a seat after the next general election. There is a Sinn Féin base there. The fact that it wasn't Chris Andrews, that it was Lynn Boylan, shows that there's a Sinn Féin brand that can withstand the pressures of other parties for the next election.
So, Cormac, what strikes me about that is that Sinn Féin and Fianna Fáil were each faced with a similar task. They were both unlikely to be in the final mix for the seat, but they were seeking to maintain their previous level of support in the constituency and not to cause any catastrophes. Sinn Féin succeeded in that mission. Fianna Fáil appear to have badly failed.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. It is a very poor result for Fianna Fáil, and Jim O'Callaghan didn't mince words about that when he spoke to reporters as he arrived at the candidate Deirdre Conroy. He said he was disappointed. The party the membership is disappointed. The parliamentary party is disappointed. You know, massive disappointment, and it's a long way from where Fianna Fáil was in the past, even in Dublin, and it's very difficult to see how they regain the support levels that they once had in the capital. From where they're at the moment, it will, I suppose, inevitably lead to more whispers about Micheál Martin's leadership. That's nothing like an election result to get the ball rolling and those things again. But it is no doubt, you know, a very, very poor result for Fianna Fáil.
Yeah, because, Pat, I mean, I could see the Green Party, for example, rationalising that some of their members drifted over to Ivana Bacic, particularly then when she was clearly the non-Fine Gael contender in this constituency, that there was a kind of a centre-right liberal vote that found Bacic acceptable, and that how Eamon Ryan has a brand in the constituency and a strength to retain that seat. But in that death match you were talking about earlier, Fianna Fáil look worst placed to win out in it.
Yeah, look, there's no sugarcoating it. It's a really troubling result, I think, for Fianna Fáil. Nobody expected Fianna Fáil to win the seat, but you would expect a political machine like Fianna Fáil to be able to find a good candidate and run a strong campaign in every constituency. Now, this is one of Fianna Fáil's poorer constituencies in terms of in terms of vote numbers nationally. But at the same time, you would have expected them to do a lot better. And I think the party organisation would have expected them to do a lot better. And I think this result will sort of reverberate throughout the party organisation about the state of the political machine. And that's important to the party membership. When you think of how by-elections were a sort of Fianna Fáil, part of Fianna Fáil lore in the past, where people would descend from all over the country to run by-elections in individual constituencies, and instead now we see a total collapse in the vote in this constituency, a really high-profile constituency. Taoiseach was out canvassing several nights, ministers were out, party's TDs were out, just didn't get off the ground at all. And, the only thing one would say is, had this occurred in a different constituency, other than that of the presumed challenger to Micheál Martin, then I think the fallout might be slightly different. But the fact that it is Jim O'Callaghan's constituency and that he was director of elections may blunt some of the consequences for Micheál Martin.
How much of this, of all these results, Harry, is due to candidate selection? Some parties seem to have made a better fist of that than others.
Oh, that's for sure, Hugh. There's no doubt about that. And the podcast last week, Professor Gary Murphy was talking about the importance of candidate selection as it pertains to by-elections. And we could see some very good examples of it here and some very bad examples as well, if you look at it from a particular perspective. But as Pat was alluding to earlier on, I think the Labour Party was very astute in its candidate selection. Ivana Bacic seemed tailor-made for this constituency. She lives here. There was a solid Labour Party base. But because of her track record in terms of social justice issues and also in terms of reform and equality, she really tapped into a very large base of potential voters, not only in traditional Labour Party areas and working class areas as such, but also amongst the middle class people who would have supported Labour Party in the past, who bought into her particular candidacy. And from the very beginning, despite the low showing of Labour in the ratings, Ivana Bacic was always considered to be one of those with a very strong chance in terms of the final outcome. For other parties, it was more difficult. Lynn Boylan was brought in from outside. I think the party didn't have a huge embarrassment of riches when it came to candidate selection within the constituency. It was always going to be a long shot for it, given the profile of the constituency. And she performed relatively well in the circumstances. The Green Party, it was Clare Byrne versus Hazel Chew. I think that even if Hazel Chew had run, she might have done a little bit better. But I think that Ivana Bacic would have stolen her thunder in terms of taking the votes from the pool that both might have been fishing in. And then for Fianna Fáil, Deirdre Conroy, Jim McCallum made the point is that she's the only person who really put her hand up. And Fianna Fáil didn't have a huge choice either when it came to candidate selection. Deirdre Conroy struggled during the campaign. I think she was very nervous in some of her media appearances and seemed to have difficulty in terms of rounding her thoughts and articulating her views. And I think that was perhaps reflected in the showing. But I think there's a wider difficulty in relation to Fianna Fáil in terms of what the party stands for. I think it's having difficulty articulating what it stands for and who it represents and what it represents anymore. And I think that is manifested in its very poor showing in the election. I think candidate selection plays a part of it, but I think the problems for Fianna Fáil are wider and more fundamental than that.
And in relation to Fine Gael, Cormac, I see quite a lot of people on social media today saying that the result might have been different if it had selected former TD Kate O'Connell. I'm not so sure about that myself, but it is interesting to look at where Labour was strongest in the constituency. Some of it was near her Ivana Bacic's own home turf of Portobello, but a lot of it was in the west and the southwest of this constituency, which was the heartland of Kate O'Connell previously.
Sure. I mean, she was the candidate in the election that wasn't the candidate in the election. It's hard to know if Fine Gael would have been more successful had they run Kate O'Connell, and had bridges been built in relation to her relationship with the leadership and all of that prior to the election. Certainly, her name did come up on doors, even on canvases I was out with. I was out with Labour, I was out with the Greens, and there were Fine Gael people who were saying they were considering voting for other candidates, particularly Ivana Bacic, given that Kate O'Connell wasn't on the ticket. Now, I will also say, though, that Fine Gael are taking some heart from the fact that they have, I suppose, they've more or less gotten their core vote in Dublin Bay South. I mean, they haven't done too badly in that sense. Their argument is that they got their core vote, Sinn Féin got their core vote here, and Ivana Bacic hoovered up everything else, which, you know, there might be an element of truth to that. But, yeah, I mean, it's candidate selection, and you'd have to think that if Kate O'Connell had been running, you know, she'd better name recognition than James Gagan. She missed out narrowly enough in the last general election. You know, she probably had a better chance, but whether she would have had enough a chance to defeat Ivana Bacic on a day that she's performed really, really well is an open question.
And Pat, even apart from individual party affiliations, presumably, you know, the members of the government parties, the Greens, Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, will be looking at this. This was a strong supporter of these three parties at the last election. I think somewhere north of 65% of the vote went to those three parties. Now that's down to about 40%. Is that just a by-election phenomenon on a low turnout, or is it perhaps warning bells for the government party?
I mean, I'm not sure I would read all that much into it. You know, this is a constituency. If you look at some of the polling that we did, that is still pretty supportive of the government. It thinks that the government is doing a reasonably good job. And Ivana Bacic herself, you know, in her final message to voters, was saying, you know, this isn't about changing the government. This is about sending a message to the government about the need to change on particular policies. So if this was a vote for change, it's a vote for a very, very gentle, barely perceptible change, I suspect. In terms of what the government looks like. I think when you come to questions like this, this is the point at which we need to be careful about extrapolating too much from an individual result that is based around particular candidates at a point in time. I think there are messages here for the parties. There, it does tell us things more broadly about our politics. For instance, it does tell us that there is a room for an opposition that is less radical in its policy propositions than Sinn Féin's is. There's a sort of a middle of the road opposition to the government that there is a public appetite far, and that I think is the message, one of the principal messages I would take out of this.
Harry, I'm going to give you the last word because you're the one who has ruminated most, I think it's fair to say, in the last couple of weeks about how much by-elections actually mean, and if they do mean anything, what is it they mean? So tell us what this means.
Yeah, by-elections are mostly consigned to the footnotes of political history, and like we political commentators and politicians make a big deal of them at the moment they're happening. But as time passes, they recede not only in memory, but they also recede in terms of importance. Having said that, I mean, by-elections have determined the outcome of leaderships in party. Jack Lynch lost his leadership of Fianna Fáil on the back of two very poor by-elections in late 1979. And they've also buttressed the leadership within political parties. So I think that if you look at the impact of this, it's not really about changing the government, or as Mary Lou MacDonald said, that, you know, people want a change of government, they don't. And I think Ivana Bacic was probably more correct in terms of her analysis. But it does tell us several things about the state of parties that they are now, and those parties that need to address fundamental issues like Fianna Fáil, perhaps Fine Gael, perhaps the Green Party, in relation to direction, strategy and messaging. I think from a Labour Party perspective, this election has been huge. As you were pointing out at the start, it's the first thing that they've had to cheer about in a decade. They have been in Coventry, in Purda, wearing sackcloth and ashes. And finally, they can cast away that and they can present themselves as a player in terms of opposition politics, maybe separate themselves from those who are running behind Sinn Féin. I don't want to make too much of it because, you know, it'll give them a boost for a while. It's not permanent. It's something that will give them a bit of an impetus, but it certainly will be big for the Labour Party as a morale booster, as perhaps a kickstart for the party trying to revive its fortunes after 10 years of decline.
And there you have it. We should leave it there. I should say that the count is not completed. I think we're somewhere between about count four and count five at the moment, but I don't think there's any doubt at all about the result, and that result is a significant victory for Ivana Bacic and Labour. Thanks to Pat and to Cormac and to Harry for joining us this evening. Thanks also to our producer Jennifer Ryan and our engineer JJ Vernon. We will be back very soon. You can mail us at politicspodcast@irishtimes.com. Until the next time, have a great weekend. The Irish Times Inside Politics podcast is taking to the road this year with a series of podcasts in front of live audiences. The first is on April the 10th in the Mac in Belfast, when we're going to be discussing the impact of the year of elections on politics across the island of Ireland. We would love to see you there and hear what you have to say too. So to book, go to events.irishtimes.com. That's events.irishtimes.com.